Thank you, Tom, for reading our gospel lesson this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So we're going to begin this morning with a question. What does it mean to be bold? What does it mean to be bold? Now, if we want to be technical, we can just go straight to Webster's Dictionary, where bold is defined as one who is fearless before danger or showing or acquiring a fearless, daring spirit. When I read these words, I can't help but think of friends and family who are bold adventurers. We like to call them adrenaline junkies. They do things that I and probably many of us would never ever want to do. They do things like jumping out of planes, or going down double black diamond ski runs, or chasing the biggest wave and surf it. If there is risk to life and limb, they are there, and they will do it. But you don't have to be chasing these thrills to be bold. You don't have to jump out of planes. In fact, sometimes life demands that we are bold, and it can be difficult and even consequential to be bold. I think about the student in school being bullied and harassed. You have to be bold to speak up for yourself. I think about the employee that doesn't agree with the ethics or a certain business decision. You have to be bold to speak out. I think about the woman who has received suggestive remarks from her boss. You have to be bold to speak up and unfortunately sometimes risk position and reputation for what is right. I think about those of us with privilege and power. And you have to be bold to give that up so that others may have life. Again, Webster's Dictionary defines bold as one who is fearless before danger, showing or acquiring a fearless, daring spirit. The gospel message is bold. Jesus' life and ministry both were bold. His imagination of an alternative way of living called the kingdom of God is probably his boldest teaching. But we'll get more to that later. After all, today is Palm Sunday. And this year we are going to figuratively grab our palms and wave them in the air and scream, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! And as we do with most scripture, we put ourselves in the story by relating it to our personal experiences. So this morning, some of us may be thinking back to 4th of July parades or Memorial Day parades, where people are lining the road, community leaders are on full display in their sports cars and fire trucks and police cruisers. We can see the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts in step, waving towards family and neighbors. People getting candy whisked at them. It's great, right? Parades. And in the distance, there's this rumble that grows louder and louder as the marching band approaches you. People are so happy at parades. That is, if it's not 105 degrees, which we've all been there. Those are very hot and miserable at times. But part of what we know about parades is happening in this passage. People are lining the road. They are celebrating and can hardly contain themselves waiting for Jesus to enter Jerusalem. They are screaming. They are waving their palm branches. They are laying their cloaks on the dirt road. They are kneeling next to their children and pointing out that this is Jesus, the famous teacher and healer, the prophet of Nazareth. The excitement, the expectation is palpable. Yet in just 1 week, nearly every person lining that road will despise Jesus. They will abandon him. Even his closest disciples will distance themselves from Jesus. And when Pilate asks, "What will be the fate of Jesus?" they will say, "Crucify him." The cross, sort of like our decorations in the sanctuary that's been posted on social media, the cross dissonantly lingers over the celebration as Jesus enters Jerusalem. And we may be wondering, why? How is this possible? What happens that Jesus goes from celebrity to crucified in 1 week's time? The simple answer is, he was bold. He was bold. It begins with his bold entry into Jerusalem. You see, at this time, Jerusalem was the epicenter of power and influence in the Middle East. The Roman Empire occupied that region. They appointed imperial representatives to make sure that villagers and towns paid their tribute and taxes to the empire. They extracted resources from agrarians and simple farmers and tradespersons in order to keep their military funded and their lavish lifestyles unhindered. And as their influence spread, so too did their imperial theology, which preached that the Roman emperor was human, but was also God, God on earth. And they often referred to the emperor as the Son of God. That should make us think there. Should sound familiar. It's also worth noting that in those days, whenever the Roman armies conquered a new land or won a victory in battle, there was a message that was sent straight to the emperor. And the message of a military victory was given a specific name: gospel. It was gospel news. It was good news from the front lines. And so up until this point, Jesus has been boldly confronting the politics of his day just by his language and also by his teachings. And the imperial leaders know that. They know who Jesus is and that he poses a threat to the entire system. This Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be sharing the gospel, although not about imperial victories, but a good news of God's love and justice and what it was doing for the least of these and those on the margins. But perhaps more threatening was that Jesus kept talking about establishing a new kingdom, a kingdom of God, where the last are first and the first are last, where people would share with those who had none, where the health of community was determined by the well-being of those most in need. Jesus made those in power nervous, because his politics did not center on attaining power or wealth, but it was centered on God's expansive love and justice. Not only were the political forces of empire nervous by his boldness, but the temple was as well. The temple had become the puppet of Rome, using their influence to collect money and further oppress the people. Jesus criticized the role of religion that sided too often with the status quo and with empire. In Jesus' ministry, he demonstrated that the temple had lost its way and did not represent the grace or love of God anymore. So temple leaders and those tied to the temple system were nervous that Jesus' faith was not about piety or being self-righteous or being the best, but it was authentically lived and centered on God's concern for those in need. So both empire and temple were uneasy when it was reported that Jesus of Nazareth was about to process into the city. It made them more uneasy when they saw crowds of people stripping leaves off of trees in order to celebrate the man who represented God's liberation and God's freedom. They lined the roads, excited and hopeful, for they had felt the weight of oppression and longed for a new way. Hosanna! Hosanna! God saves. God saves. And Jesus was boldly going public with God's gospel, which critiqued powers of domination. Again and again, God calls us to be bold and draw from Christ's courage to speak the truth about the world. Because again and again, we see forces in the world that declare certain people are worthy and others are unworthy of life. Again and again, we see the role of politics and laws that cause undue suffering and devastation. Again and again, we see religion used as it was in Jesus' day to uphold the status quo and to serve the politics of the day that sought to keep the status quo, and used fear to do that. Jesus' message was different. Jesus talked about extending God's grace to everyone, to the old and the young, women and men, immigrant and neighbor, rich and poor, knowing that when we take care of the least of these, that includes everyone. But there is a risk to following Christ and being bold. John F. Kennedy knew that there was a risk. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that there was a risk. The kid picked on at school, the woman that reports sexual harassment, the Black American man that calls out discriminatory policing, all know the risk when they speak their truth from the margins to those tangled in powers of domination. Jesus knew the risk. Three times before this passage in Mark, Jesus will prepare his disciples for the consequences of being bold with God's kingdom. Three times. Mark chapter 8, verses 31. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Again, Mark chapter 9, verses 30. For Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Again, just before this passage that Tom read for us from in Mark chapter 10, verse 33, Jesus will say, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Jesus knew the risk. As JFK, as Martin after him. And he was preparing his disciples for what they faced. To follow God is risky. But we are called to be fearless before danger and to have a fearless and daring spirit, because only such a love can make a transformation in our world. And what are those words that Jesus will say? Pick up your cross and follow me. Soon, many of the people who are lining the streets will lose their admiration for Jesus. They will believe the slanderous lies from empire and temple, and they will discredit Jesus' identity. They will find that they don't want the responsibility of carrying the cross, and they will vote to convict Jesus. Even Jesus' most trusted friends will turn on him, as Jesus said would happen. To go public with God's love will bring risk, abandonment. It will bring suffering and maybe even death. But also, as we read in Mark, 3 days, it leads to resurrection. Christ will rise on the third day. Christ will enter the hearts of all those who choose to follow Christ and with the mind of Christ continue his bold ministry. And we, as Christians, baptized into this faith of Christ Jesus, are signs that he indeed lives. That through our lives, Christ empowers us to be bold. Bold healers, bold teachers, bold advocates for the kingdom of God here on earth. For a world that upholds the image of God and the divine spark that dwells within each created being. So be bold and draw on Christ's courage to love regardless of risk. Be bold and see the world through the eyes of those who are suffering. Be bold and maybe contact your representatives when their policies demean people or God's creation. Be bold and wrestle with your faith until you see God's love in every person. Be bold. Peacefully protest and advocate for the marginalized and the vulnerable, just like that Palm Sunday. And this is the good news. Not that fake good news from the Empire, but this is really good news. This is the kingdom of God. And this is what will lead to resurrection. May it be so. Amen.